The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communication. John, Al.
I'm very good, Just. How are you, sir? Good morning.
Yeah, feeling a bit jaded, really. Just tired from the weekend, I think. I couldn't have a sleep, but, you know, the market's open, never stops, does it?
Markets never sleep, as they say.
Yeah, but it's a bit boring. I don't know at the moment. I don't know what... It just seems like this market is a bit testing at the moment, you know. It's annoying. Just
up and down
in a range.
It's almost directionless, really, isn't it? It's seeking direction. It's seeking some sort of economic directive to push it one way or the other.
Apart from in America, like the big stocks, Nasdaq doing quite well, and S&P's. There's a lot of weight towards those AI big stocks, which move the market. So it's a distorted view of that index, really, because now you've got the big five, six companies take up, 20% of the index. If they move, the entire index moves, even though the rest of the companies don't.
Yeah,
there we are. Because, like I said, we are now 640 days, pretty much, from the high on AIM. And I think, when are we going to get, head back towards that? And we are close to the lows, pretty much. So it's not inspiring at all.
It's not, and it's always tough when you're down to try and see a way forward. Obviously protect your cash as you can, but there are some great opportunities out there. But when the market, when you buy what appears to be a great opportunity and it doesn't respond, it's incredibly frustrating. But then again, there are other stocks out there that are absolutely going gangbusters. And I think one we sort of touched on it before I came on air, Justin, and that was of course Ondo and SureTech, which is absolutely flying at the moment, and I think with good reason. It's every so often a company comes along with a niche offering that makes such total common sense. You wonder why it hasn't been thought of before, but of course it takes somebody in the industry perhaps to come up with a solution, and that was certainly the case with Ondo. Craig Foster, of course, is the founder. Formerly worked for Procter & Gamble, HomeServe, and while he was working for HomeServe, the insurer, he developed a system called LeakBot within the labs there, and he was named subsequently by Insurance Times as Tech Champion of the Year. But what he's basically put together is an Internet of Things-based claim prevention system, which basically sits on your sits within your system at home, and it detects leaks, so you can be out for the weekend and you'll get a message to your phone or your app, and it'll tell you if your system is leaking. Of course, it means you can call someone out, get someone on the case, rather than sort of going away for two or three months and then coming back and finding your house underwater. Of course, the implications for insurers here are absolutely huge. And what we've seen is that the testing, obviously, it's been tested to destruction pretty well. And it's evolved, it's developed. And throughout last year, Craig and the team were signing up insurance companies around the world. Obviously, names like Hiscox, Admiral Insurance, Portsmouth Water, and then moving into Sweden at the start of this year. Sweden's largest non-life insurer starts to roll out the LeakBot system. The benchmark really, and I think that's really triggered the recent rise in the share price, is a partnership with WNS Holdings, which is listed on the New York Stock Exchange. WNS runs claims operations for multiple household name insurers in Europe, the USA, and it's just a huge market opportunity. And Craig said at the time it was a significant milestone for Ondo. Of course, with that, it now has 11 major carriers, including ones I mentioned, Direct Line, also MapFre, Top Danmark, Danish insurer, and so on. Strong set of interims to August last year, but we're coming up now to another set of results, which the interim results, which I think, full year results, which I think will really draw a line in the sand, show how far the company have come. But certainly last year, the company reported revenues had risen 55% to 1 million. The company had cash of 1.8 million. And it had at that point shipped 15,887 LeakBot units, but I believe that has now been far exceeded. And of course, the issue behind this, as I touched on at the start, is claims prevention technology. Water damage is the single biggest cause of home insurance claims in the UK. Globally, costs $17 billion each year. And of course, the LeakBot device connects to your home Wi-Fi and notifies via the app that you've got a leak. So it couldn't be simpler. So, of course, we've seen the share price really start to sort of push forward now. We're also seeing major shareholders sort of come in and take stakes in the company. We've seen Gervais Hedl the other day increase his stake from 4% to 6.1%. So, you know, these are canny investors that know a good thing when they see it. Portsmouth Water have just announced they're going to share LeakBot pilot results as well. So there's going to be, I think, an awful lot of news from the company in the next few weeks. So it's going to be interesting to see. But even despite this huge increase in the share price, the company has a market cap of 16.6 million, which you can say is possibly a raise valuation based on last year's numbers. But I think given the market it's tapping into, if all the major insurers are using this company to tap into that $17 billion market, I think the market cap is probably still small change at the moment.
Yeah, no, it'd be interesting to see the results because, like I said, from a get-go, the interims are good sort of growth, 55% top-line revenue. I do like the tech, and I looked at this a while back, but sometimes, you know, I was looking at the balance sheet and I thought, oh, hang on, they need to do a fundraise probably. And they did do a fundraise, and I thought, I'll wait until they do a fundraise and I get in, but then they raised 800 grand. And I thought, oh, well, that's not going to, 815. And I thought, maybe that's not going to do it, really, for a while. But it's gone up further, and I'm looking down further, just another concerning thing for me was just the loan, you know. They got a 6.7 million of debt there, so on a loan. So I thought, okay, I'll wait. But I still do like the tech. But I mean, that's the only thing that, you know, holds me back, really, is cash. I want to see where they are. And I see the final results to come out and see where they are, on the financial side of it. But with small caps off of this, you know, sub 10 million, it's just about, you know, market dynamics, isn't it? Supply and demand. People keep pushing up and they keep going up. But so when's the final results? Well, the interims are out on, when were they out?
The interims
on the 14th of November.
Yeah.
December, January, February, March, April, May. We should be here now. Should be any time.
Any time now. I think we're due after results in the next few days. And there's the old adage in the markets, isn't there? You know, buy on the rumor, sell on the news. But but I think I still think, given the tech, you could argue that if this company were listed on NASDAQ, we were talking about the heady valuations over there just now, you might have a market capitalization of 30, 40 million already. I mean, who knows? But even so, I
like the tech. Longer term, I think at the moment, I just want to read a bit more about their balance sheets, but I didn't expect the rise this quickly. And it's getting, sometimes you get that momentum starts going crazy on stocks, isn't it? And then just carries on buying, attracts more buyers.
Yeah,
it keeps going higher.
I think it's the involvement in the US. That's the big step forward. The WNS announcement, that's kind of opened it up to the US market. And one would hope, as we speak, those LeakBots are flying out of the manufacturing facility in their thousands. Anyway, we'll wait and see on that.
Well, the RSI is at 77, and generally sort of overbought there, so before it peak out and then went back down a little bit and just kept rising, so you can never tell. But generally, when RSI doesn't hang around above 80 for long, it has to consolidate, come back a bit, and it did that back in April. So it went up to sort of 14 pence and then came down to the 9 pence and then started to rally again. So it had to cool off a bit. So maybe that needs to happen a little bit. Who knows? But yeah, no, I like the tech and big commercial end market there. What's next, Al?
Okay. Viserion, of course, it's been a saga for investors, really, especially those that bought in at the 50s and 60p's, you know, which was a year or so ago. But the tech, again, you know, it's a tech company. It's a British company with a unique engineering solution using graphene. Of course, it has a number of strings to the proverbial bow. That's you've got graphene inks, graphene printed circuit boards, several different formulas for graphene, which is nanine, polygreen, which is graphene particles, and
Doreen.
Doreen.
Eileen.
Yes, yes, the list goes on. Yes, then we have graphene enhanced plastic products, and then carbide, total carbide, which is a part of the company that manufactures Sinter tungsten carbide for wear resistant parts, that's sort of drill nozzles and so on. But of course, the company has been dogged by news of poor funding, survival. Of course, the Neil Ricketts, the long-standing chief executive, stepped down a few months ago, and is still, I believe, you know, very much a shoulder in the company. But it's currently being run by the CFO at the moment, and of course, the share price plunged all the way down to a penny. But we're now seeing a recovery in the share price. Not compared to where the share price has been, but certainly we're back up to 3.8p as we talk. There's no getting away from the numbers; they are shocking. But nonetheless, there is the company is making some commercial progress with its concrete products. So it is working with the concrete manufacturer to put graphene content into concrete, which gives the concrete far greater strength. So it means that as opposed to using steel or steel embedded in the concrete to reinforce the concrete, that can now be done using graphene. And there's a whole raft of technical applications that can be achieved through this. But of course, the key problem behind the company is its survivability. It raised $500,000, I think, a few weeks ago, and that's really, in terms of a tech company, that's keep the lights on money, isn't it? It's but that was raised at 1.2p, yeah. So you know, shareholders that got involved in that have seen a multi-bagger from those levels. But is that enough to keep it going? Is it enough to put it in the frame to perhaps become part of another entity? We don't know. But either way, what we do see is that there is some progress in the share price. Investors are coming back into the company now, but of course I think we need to see a lot more certainty from the group in terms of its future, in terms of we know what the product can do, we know it's already making commercial progress, but I think it's got to be on a sounder financial footing before it really becomes an investable proposition again.
Yes, exactly. But again, you know, potential there for the tech. But there's issues of cash worries, isn't there? That's, you know. And this market's not very easy to raise money.
It's not. This is the problem, Jess. You know, you've got a company with great tech, but there's no appetite for risk in the market at the moment because, as you pointed out, 18 months is it since the last AIM high, and it feels like it, doesn't it? You know, we've just come out of May, we're into June, and it looks as though it's going to be more of the same. So I think a lot of traders and investors will be thinking, do you know what, I'm going to pack up and, you know, go and sit on my yacht in the Caribbean for the summer, and then I'll come back in September and see how it looks. And
you're speaking for yourself there, are you?
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah. Well, for me, I think I think that analogy would be more akin to a rowing boat bobbing around just off Seaford Beach. But
But what would, you know, if you did go and sit on your yacht for, you know, in this, what do you do all the time? What do you do on a yacht like for that long? But, well, I suppose you've got internet connectivity. You can do what you want, I suppose.
Yeah, that's it. You've got your screens, you've got your satellite connection, or if you're close enough to land, I suppose a good Wi-Fi connection, and you're just bobbing around and jumping in, and catching fish on the boat, and barbecuing them on the boat. So yeah, why sit in front of your desk when you can be doing that?
Yeah, exactly. There we are. All right. Anything else, Al?
Yes, we've spoken frequently about Decal Agrovision. This is a great little company. Of course, you've spoken with the chief exec Lincoln Moore previously, just. But we're seeing a real recovery in the share price of this company. Look at its performance over the past year, and we're just off year highs at 3.3p, and with good reason. Of course, Decal Agrovision is based on the Ivory Coast, and it has two flagship palm oil projects, basically works with all the smallholders in the region who grow palm oil and the palm oil fruit, and also grow cashew nuts as well, and it then buys the produce from those smallholders, and it then processes them through its processing plants, both at Ainuan, I think it's I pronounce it, which is to the east of Abidjan, and Guitry, which is to the west of Abidjan, the capital. So, of course, palm oil has multiple uses in food, chips, chocolates, biodiesel, of course, skincare, whole raft of stuff, and cashew nuts are cashew nuts, as we know. Cashew, bless you, yes. But the cashew nut plant was due to come into production summer last year, but of course there were delays in getting the equipment on site, and that's, if you look at the share price chart, you can see that's pretty well reflected in that since last summer. But certainly, given the lows back in March, we're at 2B back in March this year, the share price has recovered nicely, and with good reason. The company announced on 20th of April that its quarter one cashew nut production, it's a maiden production announcement. The company processed 533 tons of RCN, raw cashew nuts, and saw a big increase at the end of the first quarter. So currently producing 10 tons per day, or processing 10 tons per day, but anticipates by the end of quarter two that will be up to 20 to 25 tons per day. It also now has shelling machines there up and running, so it sells into the market the peeled cashew nuts, which of course it sells for €4,500 a ton, and the unpeeled cashew nuts it sells for €3,375 per ton average at the moment. So the hope is, and certainly Lincoln Moore is confident, that the production for cashew nuts in the second quarter will ramp up nicely. So you've got a company that's got well-established palm oil production facilities and this new cashew nut production. So it's an investment into the country, but you're also, in a sense, supporting all the small, all the people that own and operate the little small holdings and farms throughout the Ivory Coast. So, from that point, it's a very sound investment. In May, the company announced April palm oil production had increased, in fact, to a record level. The record performance is due to the volume of fresh fruit bunches and strong palm oil prices. It sold or processed 28,846 tons in April. That's compared to 13,000 tons April last year, so that's over double, so that's a significant step forward. It sold 3,988 tons compared to 1,788 tons in April last year. So again, we're seeing record production, record sales, strong crude palm oil prices out there, and the company cash flow is being well supported. So the hope is that when we get the next 7 numbers out, and that won't be too long that we'll see that progress transfer to the balance sheet. And who knows, at some stage, given the cash flow that this company could generate, it'll be paying a dividend.
Yes, and I know you're partial to some nuts, Al, are you?
Do you like cashew nuts? You can't beat cashew nuts, especially my wife does.
Yeah, your wife's a fan of nuts, is she?
She loves nuts, mate. Yeah, yes. She also cooked a very good coronation chicken. So she cooked some coronation chicken the other weekend, obviously for the coronation of our King Charles. And of course, cashew nuts go very nicely in coronation chicken. Yeah. Cashew nuts and raisins.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's nice. I like a cashew. I often have an assortment of nuts on my cereal. Yeah. And I often find the wife, she buys some nuts for me, but I often see getting her hands in my nuts. my box of nuts I'm talking about. And she potentially, she always said, I bought you some more nuts, but I always say delving into there, to get your hands off my nuts.
People that come along and delve into your nuts whilst you're trying to eat them, I think you're entitled to complain.
Well, I think women do that more than men. They tend to pick from other people's plates or your partner's plate more,
That's a no-no for me. No. Yeah. I remember years ago, I took this girl out. Very nice girl. Went out for a meal, and as we were sitting there in the restaurant, she leaned across with a big fork and scooped up some of my food. And I thought, that's it.
Stand up, walked out. Did you?
I just left there and then. That was it.
Yeah, disgusting.
Yeah.
Outrageous. But did your wife at the time know?
I hadn't met her at that point.
Oh, okay. Well, she's glad. You'd be glad on one hand, you weren't taken with her the date, but annoyed on the other hand, you're having a date anyway. But okay, lovely stuff. Al, thanks for that. Speak next week.
Thanks, Just. Speak next week.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.